Lucia stares into the vastness of space. Waiting. Waiting for the time prescribed by Lodestar to pass, so he can make the final jump to rendezvous with them. Waiting to fulfill his vow to his aunt, and deliver the message to Clan Leader Aerith. Waiting to learn why the Ironhawks were hunting Lodestar. Waiting for Adelie to decide if he's trustworthy enough to let live. Lucius learned about Paragons as a child, had even met one who his mother was attempting to recruit into the Tarquin service, but he had never witnessed one in action. And to think that Adelie, someone he stumbled upon in the vastness of space, was a Paragon, boggled his mind. She had called it fate, or maybe it was the fates. And he had dismissed that in the moment as foolish religiosity. But now he wonders. If there are fates who weave the tapestries of our lives, as some sages preach, what have they woven for him? Death at the hands of a woman whose life he saved twice now? Seems a cruel fate. Or perhaps fates. A chime sounds on the panel, the alert marking the end to another 5 hours of waiting. No Ironhawks have arrived. Lucius shakes the thoughts away and begins charging the E-drive. Fates, tapestries, paragons. What's the point in worrying about such things when every jump into E-drive could be the last? It's better to focus on the next destination and the coming rendezvous with Lodestar. Welcome back for episode 6 of Errant Adventures. As always, I'm your game master and solo player, Steve Morrison. This week, Lucius attempts to finally gain an audience with Clan Leader Aerith of Lodestar to complete his quest and deliver the shipbuilder's message. But surely there's at least one more obstacle to overcome before he can fulfill his vow? Find out now with Episode 6, He Is No Prince. All right, so the Hadrian's Folly is on its way through E-Drive, heading towards the rendezvous point with Lodestar. Just a reminder from where we left off last time, I've got 4 marked progress boxes on my vow to provide safe passage for Adelie and take the message to Nishana Aerith. So I think what I want to do to start here is determine if there is some sort of complication when we arrive at the rendezvous point. Because I don't think that the Ironhawks have been tracking Lucius. I don't think they got a chance to actually get a bead on his transponder or whatever that might be. So I think they may actually be either tracking the Lodestar fleet themselves, or maybe it was just a coincidence. So I think I'm going to start off by asking the Oracle if there is a complication at the rendezvous. And I'm going to leave it that open-ended because I want to see if the answer is yes, then we can sort of generate what that complication is organically. So I'm going to call it 50-50 on whether or not there's a complication when we arrive at the rendezvous. So I'm going to go ahead and roll. 51 or greater, the answer is yes, there is a complication. 32, no complication. So that makes it easy. So the Hadrian's Folly drops out of E-Drive in this section of deep space. And what do we see? Going to roll on the space sighting table again. Got 63, which is a planet. Okay, let's take a look at our planets, see what kind of planet it is. 50, which is an ice world. Okay. And then I think the other question for an ice world is there a settlement here? Like, is there something that may be connected to Lodestar, Or maybe it's not connected. Maybe they're just passing through. So I'm going to go ahead and roll. We're in the Outlands, 85. There's a planet-side settlement. So I'm going to go ahead and ask the Oracle again. Does this settlement have some connection with Lodestar, or is it separate? I think it is unlikely that there is a connection between this settlement and Lodestar, just for the idea that Lodestar is this sort of moving fleet of ships. It would make sense that they would send out agents into settlements around the sector, but I don't know that they necessarily have a specific settlement that they actually like deal with directly. So I'm going to say it's unlikely. So 76 or greater, the answer is yes, this does have something to do with Lodestar. Otherwise, the answer will be no. 19. All right. So definitely not. So I think as the Hadrian's Folly comes out of E-Drive, Lucius does a quick scan of the planet's surface and sees that there's a settlement on the far side of the world. Lodestar is sort of passing through the system. I think they're essentially just flying in fleet formation through this system in an effort to let their E-Drive recharge. So they're not actually approaching the planet or anything like that. So Lucia starts to head off in that direction and goes ahead and hails them. And I think the voice that he talked to before comes on and says, "Ah, Harold, I see you've rejoined us. Did you have any issues with the Ironhawks?" And Lucia says, "Nope, no issues at all. We did exactly as you said and waited at each spot. Nobody showed up. Nobody followed us. We should be clean. I even went so far as to do a check of our systems to make sure that they didn't put some sort of tracker on our hull. And I didn't find anything there, but I did find some supplies." And he kind of like sends across a manifest of the mushrooms that he harvested from that tainted world to Stops back. And the voice comes back and says, "Very good. I suppose you did everything that we asked. You may land." And they send over a set of coordinates for one of the ships. And I think it is the largest ship in the fleet. And Lucius kind of looks at that. Definitely took part in the battle between Lodestar and the Ironhawks. And he's like, okay, that's got to be their capital ship. And so he starts to fly the ship in towards this. I'm going to say it's like a large, like a heavy cruiser. Definitely, like I said before, an older model. So it's not as shiny, new, and technically advanced as the Ironhawk ship, but is certainly powerful enough to be the flagship of this fleet. I definitely think that Lucius, as he's flying the Hadrian's Folly in towards this ship, that he's looking at it, and he comes from a family of shipbuilders, and so I think he definitely has some experience with ships, and looking at it, he's like, okay, yeah, I see now. He sees that it's an older style cruiser that actually came from probably an Ironhawk scrapyard, and there are still markings on it from the Ironhawks, but they've been kind of like covered over or like graffitied with other symbols for Lodestar. And the ship probably needs a name, doesn't it? And thinking about it, I feel like there's definitely some connection with the idea of being free from the power of the founder clans, and this idea of sort of being out on their own, and I'm thinking of like liberty and stuff like that. So I'm gonna actually go with emancipation. So it's the Lodestar ship, the Emancipation. And as the Hadrian's Folly approaches the docking bay and comes in and lands, Lucius activates the internal comms and sends a message to Adelie and says, sorry to wake you if you're still sleeping, but we've arrived on the Emancipation, which is the flagship of Lodestar, and I don't know if we'll immediately get a meeting with clan leader Aerith, but you should be prepared. He lands the ship inside the docking bay and begins the process of powering it down. And I think Brutus, the combat bot, sort of rises up a little bit. And he says, no, you should probably stay here. I don't want to give them the wrong impression by coming in slightly armed. We're going to start by trying to do this as peacefully as possible, because these people should just want the message that I have to deliver. So you stay here, Brutus. And it sort of whirs a little bit and then lowers back down. And Lucius turns and heads out. And I'm going to go ahead and mark another progress on my quest passage, since we have, in fact, arrived at Lodestar. We have not gotten in to see clan leader Aerith yet. And I think this is gonna get pretty interesting, because I don't want to try and keep inventing obstacles in order to build up my progress bar, because I feel like that's maybe a little bit unsporting. So I'm not sure that there's much more progress that I can get on this based on the roles that I've made in the last session and sort of the way that this narrative arc is going. So things could go very poorly when I fulfill this vow if I roll really high on my challenge dice, because I do not have all that much progress. I'm only about halfway through, but we'll see what happens. So I think Adelie meets Lucius in the cargo bay where the access ramp is, and she is dressed in kind of multi-layered clothes. She has a cloak over that's tied up, and whatever personal effects that she had from the escape pod are packed into a bag, and she is kind of standing there, I think arms sort of folded and almost, again, looking like she's hugging herself a little bit. And as Lucius is standing there by the access ramp, as it starts to lower down, she approaches, comes and stands next to him, sort of looks down at the ground, looks over at him, and then says, Lucius, I believe that you are trustworthy. And I just want you to know, I hope that you weren't... I know what I said, and I just want you to understand that the things that I can do, they're too dangerous to let everyone know. I just need to know that you're not going to give away my secret. It's my secret. It's my secret to tell. And Lucius nods and says, of course, I have no intention or desire to say anything about any sort of waves his hands a little bit. And then says, you know, the thing that we can't talk about. She cracks a little bit of a smile and says, I just want you to know, I don't want to hurt you. And I don't know how to do this. And then she kind of gestures between the two of them. I don't know how to have a friend. I wasn't really allowed those growing up because my order... They didn't want me to develop bonds with people unless they could control them. And Lucius frowns and says, well, they sound terrible. I'm kind of glad you got away from them. And Adelie looks down at the ground and says, I got away from them, I guess. Not all of them, though. And Lucius sort of looks puzzled for a moment and says, what do you mean? And she says, well, I came on a mission, and though many of my order were on the ship that was destroyed, there are others back on our homeworld, and they're depending on me. They're waiting for me to come back with an alliance, and I can't break faith with them. And Lucia says, but they weren't good to you. You don't owe them anything. Why don't you just leave? You don't have to do what you came here to do. There's nobody forcing you anymore. You could even come with me when I leave here. There's plenty of room on the ship, and I could certainly use a co-pilot. Adelie smiles a little bit sadly and says, why didn't you turn around when Lodestar first told you that they would not allow you to land. Why did you push on to make it here? And Lucius says, well, I swore a vow to my aunt. And as realization sort of dawns on him, he looks at her and says, oh, I'm sorry. Maybe there's some way around it. And Adelie, still with that sad smile on her face, says, I don't think so. But maybe. For now, I'm just glad to have been able to meet someone outside the Order, and thank you. And then she walks down the platform. Lucius follows, and there is a party of armed guards waiting at the base of the platform. And one of them looks up and says, you the Herald? And Lucius nods and says, yes, I am. And this is my friend Adelie. She has come on her own business, but I believe both of us have business with Clan Leader Aerith. Please take us there. And I am going to let the dice decide here if they take them directly to the Clan Leader or if there's some other, you know, obstacle, like there's somebody that they have to go through in order to get to her. So I think it is 50-50. I feel like there could be somebody who basically acts as her chief of staff that would process them before they go in to meet the Clan Leader. But I also think based on the way that this whole thing has been set up and the interaction between Lodestar and the Ironhawks, and also the fact that Lucius engaged in a fight on the behalf of Lodestar and went through all these steps, that it's entirely possible that they'll just get passed right in through all the chains of command right to Clan Leader Aerith. Because I think the Clan Leader wants this message. I think that's something that's important here, is she really wants the message from the shipbuilder. So I'm going to say it's 50-50 that yes, she accepts their, you know, she has an audience with them immediately. So 51 or greater, the answer is yes. 39, which is a no. So there is something that has to happen before they'll be seen. I think it is going to be a meeting with essentially her chief of staff. And then I think essentially the chief of staff is going to basically try and be like, all right, you're here in person. I'm as close to the Clan Leader as you're going to get. You can give me the message and I'll pass it on. So we need, I think, a name for this chief of staff. And I think it's probably the person that Lucius was speaking to. So I'm going to go ahead and roll on a little name table. Caspian. Well, that's fun. All right. So they're brought into this office kind of somewhere in the middle of the cruiser. And this man is sitting behind this desk and looks up and says, ah, you must be the Herald. Sit. And who's your friend? And Lucius says, this is Adelie. And my name is Lucius Tarquin. And I have a message for Clan Leader Aerith. And he kind of waves his hand and says, yes, yes, I know. We spoke over the comms. You're here in person, but the Clan Leader is very busy. You're not going to be able to see her immediately, but you can pass the message to me. And Lucius takes a deep breath and says, we already went through this on the comms, like you said. I have to deliver this message directly to the Clan Leader. And Caspian says, you know, there's a great possibility that you're an assassin looking to kill our Clan Leader. We don't let just anyone in to meet Nishana. No, no, no. That's not how this works. And Lucius pulls out his Herald identity packet, you know, shows off the, I think there's probably some sort of information seal on the message that can be authenticated, that yes, indeed, it actually does come from the shipbuilder of Rampart. And he shows all this stuff. And I think the I think he's going to try and basically compel, and I'm going to do this again. I think because it's going to be a securing advantage, he's showing all this stuff off to basically demonstrate that he has the correct credentials, and then is going to try and have this sort of bartering conversation to get in. And I think the reason that this is necessary is I think that Nashana will see him eventually, but I think that if he doesn't succeed on this series of roles, it's going to take time. And so I think the sort of consequence here is that with it taking time, he's not going to be able to make more progress towards getting there. He just has to wait it out. So this is my way to try and get a little bit more progress before I fulfill the vow. So I'm trying to game the system a little bit, but I think it's a fair, right? Because it's fair that this very busy, very important, and probably slightly paranoid war leader is not going to immediately meet these people. And so I'm going to try and work my way in. So we're going to do that in two steps. Same as before, I'm going to try and use my credentials and this sort of data information that can be verified as a way to grease the wheels a little bit. And then, so I'm going to secure an advantage first, and then I'm going to try and do the compel roll. So with a secured advantage, I think it's going to be expertise, focus, observation. It's going to be roll plus wits again. So here we go. All right, so I got a 9 on the action die. I've got a 5 and a 3 on the challenge dice, which is a strong hit. So on a strong hit, I get plus 2 momentum, which takes my momentum from 3 to 5. And I get to add plus 1 on my next move, which is fantastic. So now he's going to say, please, please let me see her now, because this packet could be time sensitive. The shipbuilder sent me out here. Obviously, the Ironhawks are doing something in this sector, and they are a direct threat to you. They're probably a threat to the shipbuilder as well, and I have to make sure that this message is delivered and that I can get back with whatever response as quickly as possible. And I'm going to try and roll plus heart, because I'm charming, pacifying, encouraging, or bartering. Basically going very straightforward, very earnest about this. So heart is plus 2, so we're going to go and roll this. Okay, so that's, wow, a lot has happened right now on the dice. So I get plus 1 for my secure and advantage strong hit. So that's, I'm actually adding plus 3 to this, which doesn't end up actually making a difference. So I've got 9 on the action die, and then I've got a 7 and a 9 on the challenge dice. So on a weak hit, they do it, but it comes with a condition or a complication. And I have to envision their counteroffer. I'm gonna start off by just rolling on pay the price to see if that triggers an idea for what this counteroffer might be. 100. Roll twice. Well, that's not good. 31 is your action causes collateral damage or has an unintended effect. Or 6. You encounter signs of a looming threat or complication. So here's the complication. He says, all right, I will take you in to see Clan Leader Aerith, but you're going to have to do something for me. Lucia says, okay. He says, I want to know how you made those spores in the asteroid field latch on to the Ironhawk ships. Is this some sort of new technology that the shipbuilder has created? And if so, I need to have my engineers take a look at this. That could be incredibly useful in our defense systems. And Lucius feels Adelaide sort of tense up beside him. And I think he is going to say, I think I may have just gotten a little close to some of the asteroids and agitated the spores a little bit, and I don't know what happened from there. It was super, super weird. That was a very strange occurrence. Maybe there was some like resonance that in the Ironhawk ships that drew the spores to them once they got agitated, and he's sort of like scrambling. And I think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this another roll to see if he can lie about this to Caspian. And if he succeeds, then he kind of is a little bit scot-free. If he fails, I think Caspian's going to know that he's lying and is going to make it his mission to find out what that is before Lucius leaves Lodestar. All right, so we're going to go ahead and do, this time we're going to roll the compel plus shadow because we're lying or swindling. And my shadow is plus one, so this could go very, very poorly. Oh, very, very poorly. So I've got a 4 on the action die and an 8 and a 10 on the challenge dice, which is a complete miss. So Caspian sitting there listens to this explanation and just deadpan like looks at Lucius and goes, uh-huh, sure. Well, you and I are going to have a conversation later, but I will take you to Clan Leader Aerith. Because I said I would, but there's something you're not telling me, and this information could be incredibly useful to the defense of our fleet. So you and I are going to have a conversation later. And he stands up and says, follow me, and leads them out of the office. Adelie like turns eyes wide to Lucius and just mouths thank you. And Lucius, who is sweating, is just like mouths back like, I don't know what to do now. They follow Caspian out of the door. I'm going to go ahead and mark another box of progress to give myself a fighting chance. So I'm at 6 out of 10 on this formidable vow. They are brought into the sort of command center ready room where Nashana Aerith is waiting. And we don't know much about Nashana Aerith. So let's roll a couple times on the character aspects. 6, angry. Good. That's a good start. 83, stoic. That's interesting. So angry, stoic, and it's going to be like funny or something like that. 17, clever. Oh, well, that's perfect. All right. Well, that's good. All right. So she's angry, stoic, and clever. I think that makes sense. So as Caspian ushers Lucius and Adelie into this ready room, we see for the first time clan leader Nashana Aerith, and she's sort of standing. There's probably a viewport or something like that she's looking out at the rest of the fleet. And I think she is in very crisp, clean, simple sort of like uniform. And, you know, it's probably like grays and blacks. And, you know, maybe a little bit of like silver here and there. Very sort of nondescript military uniform. Her hair is close cropped. And she, when she kind of turns, there's a sense of familiarity that Lucius gets when he sees her. And he like squints a little bit. And he's like, she looks familiar to me. And she is very, I think her features are very like angular. She's clearly incredibly fit, and she's a warrior. That's, I think, the straightforward way of saying it. Like, she is clearly not a soft, sort of laid-back commander. She is a lead-from-the-front sort of warrior type. And she turns, has her hands folded behind her back, and says, ah, you must be the herald. Come in. And ushers Lucius forward. She says, I understand you have an information packet for me. Please, deliver it now. And Lucius says, very well, clan leader. My name is Lucius Tarquin. I'm here on behalf of Aurelia Tarquin, the shipbuilder of Rampart. I formally deliver her message to you. And he hands over the small, like, data cube that contains the message. And we are going to fulfill the vow. I am so terrified right now because this could go incredibly, horribly awry. But I could also get experience. Woo! All right. I've got 6 boxes on my progress track for this vow. I've got my 2 challenge dice. No momentum and nothing like that comes into play here. It's just my challenge dice versus the progress track. So I've got to beat 6 on at least 1 die. Oh, boy. Okay, so I've got a progress of 6, And I've got challenge dice of 1 and 2 for a strong hit. So Lucius successfully fulfills his vow to deliver this message from the shipbuilder of Rampart to clan leader Nishana Aerith. And I think by extension, Adelie is safely here. Whether she will remain safe while she is here, who knows? But we'll find out. So on a strong hit on Fulfill Your Vow, mark a reward on your quest's legacy track per the vow's rank. This was a formidable vow, so it's 1 box. So I already have 2 ticks on my first box, so I'm going to fit another 2 ticks in there to fill that box, and then another 2 ticks on my second box of my quest legacy track, which also nets me 2 more XP, so I'm up to 4 XP, and I think I'm going to spend some XP this session. Nishana, clan leader Aerith, receives this data cube and looks at it and says, "Ah, very good. Thank you, Herald. I understand you perhaps would like a response. You may avail yourself of our hospitality, and I will return a response to you as quickly as I can." And then she turns, and basically Lucius senses that he is dismissed. Starts to turn, and Adelie is standing there beside and sort of like looks at him, and Lucius hesitates for a moment and says, "Clan leader, apologies, I don't want to impose on you, but I do have 1 further piece of business." And Aerith turns back rather quickly and says, "Yes, go ahead." Lucius says, "This is my friend Adelie. We met on the journey here. She has come to seek an alliance, and I would just like to make this introduction so that you can begin conversations about that." And I think Nishana Aerith looks at Adelie, gives her a very appraising gaze, and says, "Very well, I will turn you over to Caspian. You may speak with him on what this alliance is and with whom, and should those things need my further purview, I will be happy to review them. Caspian, they are in your care." And she turns back away. Lucius and Adelie follow Caspian back out. Caspian, I think, looks at Lucius and says, "Remember, you and I are going to have a conversation, so don't go anywhere." And Lucius is like, "I can't go anywhere, but okay." And Lucius says, "I think I would really like some food and maybe a nap, and my ship needs some supplies. Is there anywhere I can go to resupply?" And Caspian, I think, sends them to an area of the ship where there's a mess hall and gets them in contact with the right people to do what they need to resupply the ship. And I'm going to kind of like skip over some of that stuff, and I'm not going to play out like meetings with shopkeepers and whatnot. So what we're going to do, though, is we're going to jump around and we're going to make a couple moves as we go through that process to try and recover some of these things. So first of all, I am going to try and sojourn. So sojourning is basically the catch-all move for being able to heal, hearten yourself back up, get your spirit back up, repair your ship, resupply, do all these things. Lucius and Adelie spend a little bit of time with the community that is Lodestar and is, maybe developing some new bonds, some new connections with people, and we're going to see what happens. So I'm going to roll plus heart and try and get a good hit. All right, so I've got a 5 on the action die. I've got a 1 and a 7 on the challenge dice, which is a weak hit. So, on a strong hit, you're safe here. You and your allies may choose 2 recover moves, and instead of rolling, just assume an automatic strong hit for each. But on a weak hit, time is short or resources are strained. You and your allies each make 1 recover move instead of 2, and so I only get to pick 1 between heal, hearten, repair, or resupply that I can do and automatically take a strong hit. So I'm going to choose resupply because my supply is at 0 and I am desperately in need of some supplies. So on a strong hit for resupply, if you are unprepared, clear the impact and take plus one supply. So I'm going to go ahead and remove that. So I'm no longer unprepared and my supply is now one. It basically helped me to not be totally screwed going forward. My ship is still has some damage to it, actually, from the journey. So I'm at 4 out of 5 integrity of that. So I kind of like to see if I can get that repaired. I'm at 2 out of 5 spirit, so I'd kind of like to hearten a little bit. And I would like to resupply again. So I'm going to go ahead and try to make my own repairs. I think Lucius is a fairly savvy, coming from, not unsurprising, coming from a family of shipbuilders. He's savvy. So he gets the materials and starts to try and do the repairs himself. So I have, this is going to be rolling plus wits. And so I've got a plus 3 in my wits. All right, so I got a 7 on the action die. I've got a 2 and a 1 on the challenge dice. Strong hit. We're at a facility. So it gives me 5 repair points. And since this is actually dealing with regaining of integrity, I'm going to read through the rest of the move here. So if you are repairing a battered vehicle, first spend 2 repair points to clear that impact. I'm not. Then spend each point to do one of the following. Take plus 1 integrity for a vehicle. Give a mechanical companion plus 1 health. Or restore 1 broken module. If you are repairing something other than those options, spend 5 points to bring it back to full working condition or 3 points to repair with a complication or a persistent malfunction. Unused points are discarded. I don't believe Brutus has taken any sort of damage, so I'm just going to spend the point on the Hadrian's Folly to bring it back up to 5 out of 5 integrity, and then I'm going to move on. I think I'm going to do the resupply next, because I'm going to leave the Harten for kind of the last in this chain. So the resupply is going to be, I can barter or make an appeal, I can threaten, I can steal or swindle, or I can scavenge. Being on Lodestar, I have the opportunity to barter with some of these people and try to get some supplies. So I'm going to roll plus heart, plus 2. I've got an 8 on the action die, and I've got 2 9s on the challenge dice. For a miss. So on a miss for resupply, you encounter an unexpected complication. And I think I know exactly what this complication is. Lucius is sitting down with the quartermaster of the Emancipation and is working through these details of what he needs and the, you know, what he can provide as compensation. And the quartermaster is kind of like nodding, and then stops and goes, oh, I'm sorry, there's been a freeze on this. On supplies sent to you. And Lucius, I think, knows what's up, but says, oh, really? By who? And the quartermaster says, it looks like by Commander Caspian. Well, unfortunately, I can't help you any further until we get this this lock sorted out. And Lucius says, I understand, it's all right. Gets up and leaves the quartermaster's office and heads back to Caspian's office. When he gets there, Caspian's waiting, arms folded, and says, so, I understand you want to resupply. I'm sure that we would be happy to help you resupply. But first, I really need to know what you did to those spores. And Lucius says, look, I don't know what to tell you. It was a freak thing that happened, and we got lucky. I have no idea what happened. And Caspian says, you're lying. And while I can't do anything to harm you, Lucius Tarquin, I can certainly not help you. And Lucius says, look, if I could tell you what happened, I would. I have no reason not to. I just don't know. It was a really freak thing that happened. And because he failed that previous role, there's no way that Caspian believes him. There's no way that Caspian's like, oh, okay, fine, you know. And so he's just like, when you are interested in telling me the truth, you can come and see me and I will clear all the blocks on resupplying your ship. And Lucius sighs and turns away and says, well, then I guess I'll just go without, and heads back to the ship. On the Harten front, I think he's going to spend a little bit more time with Adelie, as they're basically, I think he is a little bit concerned with the way that these things are going here, that they're going to end up like, he's going to be put into a position where he's going to have to tell about her powers. And so he's, I think, maybe trying to spend some time with her as a way of showing support, and that he is not, he doesn't want to do that, that he's on her side, essentially. So when you socialize, share intimacy, or find a moment of peace, roll plus heart. 8 on the action die, 2 fours on the challenge dice is a strong hit with an opportunity. So the you find companionship or comfort, and your spirit is strengthened. If you are shaken, which I'm not, so I don't need to clear that impact and take +1 spirit. Otherwise, take +2 spirit. If you make this move as you sojourn, take +1 more, which I did not. So my spirit goes up to 4, which is not bad. So 4 out of 5 health, 4 out of 5 spirit, 1 out of 5 on supply. And Lucius and Adelie spend some time together. I think at the end of this day, there's still no message back from Nishana. And I think it's getting in towards kind of like the evening. And the reason that Lucius and Adelie have been spending this time together is because Adelie has an appointment with Caspian that evening to have this conversation about what her alliance is, and she's nervous about it. So Lucius is trying to get her mind off of that situation. I think when she leaves to head for that meeting, and this is not a meeting that he's invited to, he is not going to the meeting, I think partially because it's not really his place to, and partially because I think there's a part of him that's afraid that Caspian will try and use him to create leverage so that Lucius will give up the secret. After Adelie leaves for this meeting, Lucius heads off to one of the local sort of rec rooms close to the docking bay where the Hadrian's Folly is berthed. And he's sitting there sort of drinking and taking some time to refresh himself and think about the future. And somebody sits down next to him and starts sort of trying to chat him up a little bit. And I think Lucius is cautious enough that he knows that there is information that he has that somebody is after, and is a little bit leery about this person who's just started sort of talking to him. So Lucius is trying to kind of be polite, not be super rude, but is trying to essentially remain as neutral as possible. And at a certain point in the evening, as he's having this conversation with this person, something happens. Like there's some sort of, you know, distraction or something like that. And Lucius looks away and then looks back, and, you know, person kind of shrugs it off, is like, oh, you know, people blowing off steam, it happens all the time after a fight or some sort of dangerous encounter. And Lucius takes another sip of his drink, and as he does so, his mouth starts to dry out and his eyes start to get bleary as he like blinks a bit. And he looks down at the glass, and like his hand loses its ability to maintain his grip on the glass, and it like clatters back onto the bar. And he's sort of like blearily eyed, looking over at the person that he's talking to, says, and then face plants on the bar. Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures. If you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends, family, pets, or really anybody you want about it. And head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a review so more people can find the show. If you want to chat with me, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @ErrantSolopod, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.